You are listening to the Next Regeneration podcast by the Osteology Foundation.
A podcast that aims to discuss relevant topics in the field of oral regeneration.
And for this, we invite a new guest each month. I'm Elena Calciolari, I'm a periodontist.
And I am Nina Zürcher, I'm a prostodontist, and we are hosting this podcast.
Hey, Anina. Can you picture a world where biomaterials or even entire implants could be effortlessly created using a 3D printer and tailored based on patients' needs? Imagine the possibilities that this would unlock for personalized medicine and how it would improve the care we provide to our patients.
I mean, Elena, I also think that personalized dentistry has already become a huge part of our reality, let's say. And I guess also the digitalization of dentistry, for example, has also brought new technologies with it. And also, I guess it will also continue to evolve and also push the boundaries, what is actually possible. And also, I like the idea about 3D printing and that we can print out whatever we like to.
Yeah. Well, Anina, to get deeper into this very fascinating topic, we have invited a highly respected guest that is going to join our podcast. And his remarkable career and extensive research in the field of 3D printing technology, combined also with the fact that he's both a clinician and a researcher, make him, I think, the ideal guest to discuss this topic, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. I mean, we are speaking about Florian Thieringer. And he is a professor and chair of the craniomaxillofacial surgery at the University Hospital of Basel. And in addition to his academic career, he runs also the 3D printing lab. And he's also a leader of the Swiss Medical Additive Manufacturing Research Group. And I guess this makes Thieringer also a forefront of new research, and also he's probably also shaping a bit the future of 3D printing and also the application in medicine as well as so in dentistry. Not to speak longer, hello Florian.
Hi Anina, hi Elena. Thanks a lot for this kind introduction. I'm super happy to be here.
Great.
And thanks
Thank
for
you.
The invitation.
No, thank you for being here with us, Florian. It's amazing. Actually, I'm very excited to have this conversation with you today. And first of all, we are very eager to know your story, you know, with 3D printing. So when and how did you become so involved and passionate about this topic?
I must say I was very lucky that even already before I started to work as a doctor during my medical studies, I had the luck and the opportunity to meet my mentor, Hans-Florian Zeilhofer, in Munich at the University of Technology. And when I met him the first time, I asked him for writing a thesis in his research group, and he showed me his high-tech research center. It was in a cellar of the craniomaxillofacial ambulatory with hundreds of 3D printed skulls in the basement floor. And that was my first contact where I was able to see the benefits of technology directly implemented in treatment of patients. And that was, let's say, covering my interest in becoming a surgeon and working with patients, but on the other hand, my passion for technology and computers in working on high-tech topics and bringing these topics in the treatment process.
I mean, it looks like even from your story that you bridge two worlds, let's say as a clinician and also as a researcher, and you started very early to become so interested in that topic. And, you know, as a clinician, probably you see or you challenge also a lot of difficulties. And first of all, I would like also to hear a bit more about your areas in research. Like, what are you focusing at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it, or it was mentioned before in the introduction. With 3D printing, we have endless opportunities in let's say generating complex structures that cannot be generated by any other technology, and therefore it this technology opens a lot of opportunities for treating our patients. Let's say, for example, and this is one of my main research interests and is following more or less the line from the very beginning when I was a student, and then I advanced my career and I came to Basel. So we were always focusing on the topic how to help patients in this treatment process by using these technologies like, let's say, 3D imaging, computer-based treatment planning, and 3D printing, and bringing this, so we say, translating this into the clinical practice. And one of the key topics here is the area of smart implants. That's not necessarily only dental implants, or there are much more implants meant by this term. For example, an implant to stabilize, to do osteosynthesis in a fractured bone, or an implant to reconstruct a defect cranial vault, and a biological implant that can reconstruct a maxilla that needed to be resected because of a tumor disease, or many other implants, even with, for example, sensor technology. And this is what we are focusing on in my research group, Swiss MIM.
That's very interesting. And so what I like, and that you mentioned, is that your type of research is translational, isn't it? So you don't just do in vitro, let's say, work, but you like to apply this directly to your patients. So I see that this type of technologies really can help you tackling different challenges, isn't it? But for instance, let's say, what specific project are you working on at the moment? Can you tell us a little bit on something that you are doing at the moment in your lab?
Yes, for basic research, if you work like on let's say enzymes or very basic research, you need to be very patient. And we as surgeons, I mean, you might understand, we are not very patient. We want to see the technology implemented in what we do. And there, what we do is very, let's say, satisfying and fulfilling. I mean, just to tell from my clinical practice, I just came out of the operating theater today. We had an interdisciplinary surgery with my colleagues from neurosurgery, Professor Raphael Gutzmann and his team. And what we did was we resected a tumor from the cranial vault by computer guidance. So what we did, we planned the resection of a cranial vault, so a bone intraosseous bone tumor from the cranial vault, and we planned it on the computer. We designed exactly the cutting margins where we have to remove the diseased tissue out of the patient and to replace it with a 3D printed implant. And this implant was actually printed also here at the point of care in the University Hospital of Basel by 3D printing technology made out of PEEK, polyether ketone. So, for example, we have been heavily working for the last years on the not only together with the 3D printing device manufacturers or 3D printer manufacturers, but also on different perspectives, like working on the standard operating procedures, the validation from a regulatory perspective, biomechanical testing, toxicity testing, and bringing this whole process in the hospital so that we are now able to manufacture our own implants based on computer planning directly in the hospital. So that's what we do at the moment, for example, and what we did today.
That's very fascinating. That's
very interesting, and also so close to the clinic, let's say. And you know, you already probably mentioned a bit, but now I just want to go a bit deeper, because you were mentioning about printing out certain parts for the body. And there I would like also to talk a bit more about the materials. You know, what kind of materials? You already mentioned PEEK, so maybe we can just touch it a bit. What kind of materials are available nowadays?
PEEK is for us, it's a high performance polymer, and for us it has a lot of advantages. But of course, there's not one solution like one hammer for every nail or for one solution for every problem. So it depends highly on what we intend to do. So for, let's say, a cranial vault reconstruction, PEEK is a very well-known material. But let's say for bone regeneration or osseous reconstruction, there are other materials. In this matter, for example, we work on bioresorbable 3D printed meshes that we can use for guided bone regeneration. Or, for example, in trauma and also in orthognathic surgery or in any case where we need to cut bone and put it back into position or stabilize two bone fragments with each other. Titanium is still the material of choice, the let's say the preferred material that we can use because it's very rigid and can be used for also for load bearing situations where we have biomechanical forces working on the implants. So here we work, for example, together with our partners from the University of Applied Sciences on titanium printing, which is also very interesting because we can produce complex three-dimensional geometries, anatomical geometries to manufacture exactly fitting implants for our patients. And the same situation is, for example, for the area of subperiosteal implants, where you can provide patients a solution for highly atrophic maxilla situations, as well as atrophic mandibles. So, I mean, the range is really big, and it's not only limited to maxillofacial, cranial maxillofacial surgery, but also we cover a lot of other medical disciplines that have a huge benefit of 3D printing technologies.
Wow, I mean, all these new technologies are really promising and fascinating. But I guess they all come at a cost, isn't it? Because I was just thinking that obviously there is a cost to buy the 3D printer, there is a cost for its maintenance to test the materials, and also the time that we dedicate to the designing and the printing obviously comes necessarily with a cost. So if you balance, let's say, cost and benefits, do you think that currently these technologies are worthy and represent a good investment for clinicians? What is your view?
That's actually a topic for itself. So we could discuss this for a long time. And actually, we have to think about the cost situation. And it's depending on the healthcare systems and the situations of every country we deal with implementing modern innovative technologies. Actually, it's of course, I mean, starting from imaging to software for planning purposes, as well as 3D printing and especially patient-specific implants, that comes at a specific cost. So it's pretty cost intensive. On the other hand, you should think about the benefits of patient-centered, patient-individual treatment. So see on the other side, maybe let's say we have doubled the price of a standard procedure, but we do not only have a perfect solution for our patients. We save operating time. We might be able to avoid secondary surgery, or we might even be able to avoid donor site morbidity. Think about tumor surgery, where we have to take bone from the fibula or from the iliac crest to reconstruct the mandible or the maxilla, or many other examples where you really have to do surgery on different areas of the patient with its cost in, for example, immobilization. Or in the traditional way, sometimes some procedures are not possible because only with the patient-specific three-dimensional way of treatment, you're able to do this kind of surgery in a let's say, minimally invasive and specific way. Orbital reconstruction is also a good example where you save a lot of time. That was even proven by studies we did that we were able to reduce operating time in orbital surgery by more than 30 minutes, which is actually, if you count one operating operating room minute costs in Basel about, I think, 50 Swiss francs. Multiplied by 30 minutes, it's 1,500 Swiss francs of money that you save by the use of a patient-specific implant. And then think about that the patient might have the much better treatment than in the conventional way. So, I mean, there's so many benefits, and also the socioeconomic effects are usually not brought to the table when you discuss costs. I mean, patient that can be referred, or let's say leave the hospital after a shorter time, and they can be reintegrated in the work life, which is also very important. I mean, this is all something that should be brought into this discussion about costs. And then the initially let's say high costs of an individual treatment, they are sometimes even lower than the standard or the traditional way.
I mean, that's very interesting. Also, kind of, it comes also with the evolution, let's say, of newer technology and also what is even feasible. And now I was just thinking while you were talking, I mean, do you see also this novelties in dentistry, like in implantology? There do you see also that we go in this direction to have more personalized reconstructions?
Sure. I mean, I'm a craniomaxillofacial surgeon. So the standard training of a craniomaxillofacial surgeon is in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, the double degree. So we did, let's say, a bit shorter, but we did a full dental degree and examination. So when I was trained in actually Munich at the LMU, we had, I remember the lectures talking about CAD/CAM, and the people at this time were more or less laughing. There were some pioneers in this area, but everyone said, yeah, when you use CAD/CAM, you need a lot of composite to put in your fillings, so because they do not fit very well to let's say bridge the gaps and so on. And it was really, I remember a lot of dentists that said this is really only for the geeks and for the total nerds that want to spend a lot of money and waste a lot of time. Yeah, let's say composite or the conventional crowns and so on. That was the crazy stuff at this time. And nowadays, I mean, the digital dentistry is nothing, let's say, pioneering anymore. It's the reality. Yeah, I mean, you need intraoral scanners. You have the opportunity to send directly the data to your dental technician, and they manufacture by the support of algorithms on the computer. They design the restorations they will use you will use later in the mouth of your patient, or you can even manufacture it by yourself. I mean, this is the idea of a patient-specific implant, like we do in let's say the big operating theater with our PEEK implants, for example, or hopefully later with biological grafts as well. So I think, as I said, I mean, this is the nice thing of being a let's say a medical doctor and a dentist. We know from every disciplines the benefits, and I can see clearly that dentistry is for this area is pioneering a lot. I mean, it's for example, let's say digital smile design. Aligner therapy. I mean, we started now with our orthodontist to have a full digital treatment workflow where we can, from the very beginning of the initial consultation of the patient until the last consultation, everything, let's say, supported by digital technologies, we can estimate, we can plan on the computer how the teeth should look like, how the teeth should be aligned in the maxilla and the mandible. And by backward planning, we can, in three dimensions, plan our surgical procedure before we even enter the operating theater. And that's actually something what happened today also in another operating theater. My two colleagues, they did They did orthognathic surgery with an advancement of the mandible, and all these procedures are nowadays 100% digitally planned in the computer, so the patients know exactly what's going to happen, and the translation or the transfer of this information in the operating theater is something which happens by the use of surgical guides, for example, or by even patient-specific implants that guide the bone into the correct position.
Wow, I mean, this workflow that you described looks very efficient and very promising. So I was just wondering, if we look at the future, let's say, I mean, what do you think is still missing with these technologies? Do you think that they still require some improvements, or are you foreseeing anything new coming up in the upcoming years, or we have already reached, let's say, the top level and we're just going to improve using these technologies in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think there are a lot of areas where the technology can be improved. I mean, of course, there have been a lot of innovation and advancement in the last years. And to compare, as I said, when I entered the first time, the building of the research group of my mentor, Hans-Florian Zeilhofer. And I saw these 3D printed skulls, and every skull was worth of several thousand Swiss francs or at this time German marks. Yeah? It was very expensive. It took weeks until you received such a skull model based on the CT scan of your patient. So there were a lot of indications excluded, and nowadays you have printers in your own office, in your dental office, in your clinic, and you can manufacture everything in a very short time frame. Imaging is fantastic, but for example, imaging is one topic. I mean, better resolutions, better algorithms, especially everything where you still have to work on the computer. I mean, it's digitally, but still you have to use your mouse, you have to click around and so on, you have to design by yourself. Everything that is at the moment done manually can be later on done by AI, for example. So I think by the help of algorithms, we will have a huge benefit. And in my research group, we also work on this topic. We were able to develop our own artificial intelligence-based algorithms that enable you, for example, to generate a mandible model, to segment it out from a cone beam CT or CT scan just by a mouse click in some seconds. Or you can generate surgical guides just by a mouse click. So I think everything that is done by, or let's say, the segmentation of teeth, of your mandible, of the nerve, of let's say you have a atrophic mandible, the computer can calculate how much bone you will need, or the implant position for the perfect restoration could also be done automatically. I mean, there are a lot of workflows already working on that topic. Crown design, I mean, there are a lot of possibilities. We work on the topic automatic implant design. So a patient, let's say patient has an accident, has a fracture of the mandible, will come to the emergency department. You will have a CT scan, and the computer will detect or will see where the fracture is and will tell you. You don't have to look at the slices by yourself. It will tell you, have a look here in the mandible, let's say angular region. There is a fracture, there's a gap, and you need to treat it. And then the next step would be the computer can tell you how the bone should be positioned, realigned, so that it's in the perfect position. And the next step would be the computer can tell you how the implant should look like to have a perfectly fitting, biomechanically perfect implant manufactured, for example, out of titanium or even other materials like magnesium that is resorbable, or polylactides that are resorbable. And the next step would be like the translation, the operating theater. And this is something where I think we will also have a huge, huge advancements in the future. Just think about Apple Vision Pro, think about HoloLens, Magic Leap. augmented reality and virtual reality will play a significant role in the future way how we treat our patients. So let's say the computer can tell you the position for an implant so that you just have to navigate to this position and you will have superimposed everything from anatomical structures to the final implant position. You will have superimposed on the patient's anatomy. And that's just a fraction. Sorry.
Florian, it sounds so interesting. I mean, you are totally into the topic. I mean, and also, and kind of sometimes I think, okay, are we already in the future? I mean, it looks like that it gets very interesting in the future. I mean, and I also think it's not really a help sometimes, but because there's also a lot of knowledge behind. And I mean, we could probably have you as a guest even longer, but unfortunately, slowly, slowly, the time is up. And I mean, it was great to have you as a guest in our podcast. And yeah, I'm very eager to see all the things coming up in the future.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much, Florian, for being with us today and for sharing your time and your knowledge and insights with us. You really gave us food for thoughts and a hint of what's coming in the future, I think. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, Elena, Nina, it was a pleasure for me. And as you heard, I mean, we can talk about this for hours. We don't want to bore our listeners. I think for everyone who is really, let's say, interested in technology and in medicine, it will be really exciting times in the future. I'm pretty sure about that. So thanks
Absolutely.
Again for the invitation.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye bye.
This was our Next Regeneration podcast. We discuss relevant topics in oral regeneration. I'm Elena.
And I am Anina. Thank you very much for listening.
Subscribe to our monthly podcast if you don't want to miss a new episode.
You can find us on the Osteology website, on Apple Podcast, and on Spotify.
We are looking forward to next time.